It's Thursday, and welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the new show that won't hate you for sailing under the Jolly Roger. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
Rusty.
And you taking that what you
guys,
will?
We're flying the pirate flags. It's been reported several different places on the internet, several news outlets, including IGN and a few others, picked up on an unusual spike in the price of copies of a game from 2002. That was re-released on the PS4 in 2019. And that is Star Wars Racer Revenge, which was kind of like a part two game to Star Wars Pod Racer that originally released on the Nintendo 64.
This is Pod Racer.
Yeah. Now, reportedly, there are copies out there on eBay that are selling for, between $300 and $400 of the re-release of this game. All of these reports indicate that specifically, there is code in the physical release of this PS4 re-release that allows you to trigger a jailbreak on your PlayStation 5 that has firmware version 12 or older.
Oh boy.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Is it the PS4 version or the PS2 version that's doing
it? It's the PS4 version. Okay. PS2 version won't work because the PS5 cannot read that physical media.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the eBay listings right now.
Technically the
PS4 versions are
technically like, the game files have the same code, but your PS5 has no way of reading it.
What's the cost you see right now, Rusty?
So they're ranging somewhere between $250 and $300, depending on, you know, on things. There's some of them that are like still sealed in boxes. Like, I've never seen some of these boxes, but the PS2 versions are like $15. PS4 versions are all over $200 easily. And that is like, oh yeah, this is pre-owned. It's opened. You know, it came off of my shelf. Here, the disc works. It's $200, you know? You know, and it's very clearly because of this. So what's this hack do? Like, I mean, I hear it jailbreaks it. So what does that allow?
That's the thing, is aside from being able to play ISOs, right, of all of your games from PS2 up, because, you know, it can read the ISOs. That's the whole reason behind PlayStation Plus.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, external hard drive. A bunch of, correct, you know, a bunch of ISOs of all of those disc games. You don't need to have the physical hardware anymore. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Weird.
That could, you know, so I remember that happening with the PS2, you know, where you could get PS2s with, you know, with a hard drive that had a bunch of fucking games on them, just
right,
loaded with games.
But it will also, the biggest thing is being able to play the FFP packages of PS4 games, which previously, even in most emulation, doesn't happen. You have to have solid ISOs. But if you can play just the FP packages, then, or the F packages, then your total install size for PS4 games is much smaller than the ISO.
Ooh, okay.
So, wow, so that's basic. There are apparently several different pluses to it, but there are also minuses. I mean, the PS5 apparently is extremely hard to jailbreak. And to be honest, I couldn't even find a ton of info on exactly what you can do. And obviously, jailbreaking your PS5 means you can never let it touch the internet.
So, yeah, because obviously, you know, Sony's going to, you know, going to patch this out.
They're going to send assassins.
Not only that, but they are going to banhammer the shit out of you. Well, out of your console, because, you know, for all the things PlayStation has done good for gaming over the years, they are also a walled garden, much like Apple and
Nintendo.
They will let you feel it. Less so than Nintendo. I actually think Nintendo is a walled garden above even Apple. Like, Nintendo does even more anti-consumer bullshit than Apple, and that's saying something.
That's true. Yeah, Nintendo's pretty anti-consumer these days.
Yeah. So. I'm looking at this, and it definitely would take the PS5 completely off, you know, offline for sure. But then again,
it does. But apparently, the main advantage to jailbreaking your PS5, if you're able to do so, is that you get even better backwards compatibility play, even just in how well older games run, versus what you do natively on the console.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made. I mean, I think we've all at this point seen people who modified old 360s, right, to play old games, essentially, right? And so you have all these emulators, and I know this isn't entirely legal, but like just kind of talking about it, right, like a lot of what happens with that stuff is just people end up playing having a machine that's basically an arcade machine, right, to play these old games that may or may not run forever. Let's just face it, like those carts aren't going to run forever. Like any of those old Nintendo carts at this point absolutely have to be refurbished to even play. Stuff wears out.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are retro shops sprinkled all over the U.S. that literally take game carts apart, replacing the internal batteries,
cleaning up the
carts, etc.
Yeah, there's a shop right down the street that does exactly that.
There are a bunch of guys that will even, you know, because the history of Nintendo, of the NES and the Super Nintendo, there are tons of copies of games that nobody cares about. So you'll like have a lot of these shops actually, not many of them do it, but I've seen a few that will literally take the game chip off of a highly sought after game because the contacts on the board are dead or whatever. And resolder that game chip onto a trash games board. Just to save that highly sought after game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're into that donor boards and stuff like that, that happens all the time. Because, you know, the game itself is going to be, you know, on the ROM, and very few of those games actually have, yeah, unique circuitry. Because I mean, it all has to work with the game console, right?
The game's all on the ROM chip.
Yeah. So
the only thing is that it's extremely difficult to unsolder and resolder the game chips, you know, without ruining them.
I know a lot of people that successfully done it. And once you get used to micro soldering or pad soldering, you can do it pretty well.
My point is that it's not for everybody to just go out and try to do it.
You have to have the equipment for it.
But some skill.
Oh yeah. Oh, a lot of skill. Cause you could fuck things up real easy. Thing is, for this, it's obviously not everybody's going to go out and do this. Right. And having a jailbroken, console, from what I'm able to tell, just doing some quick looking through the internet, most of the people who are doing it they're doing it so that they can play PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 4 games a little faster, using the PlayStation 5 hardware. And it's not necessarily so that they could play PlayStation 5 games offline or most of those games are going to be require online play, these days anyway, right?
You can do things like dedicate more cores to the emulation for the PS4 games,
right?
Which the native software OS on the PlayStation limits.
Right. So from what I was able to find, the code that has to do with the jailbreaking for this, it talks to the processor at a machine level and allows the jailbreaking to happen there instead of doing it at a specific firmware level. So they could, update the firmware to basically say, you can't read this disk, this particular game disk, you can't read it. You know, if it sees that, that disk, that's probably how they're going to stop it, with firmware updates. If you have a specific firmware level on your PlayStation and you wanted to do this, you would want to make sure that that shit's offline right now, well in the past.
Because now that this is out, you best believe
it's already patched, of course, but there's plenty of PlayStation 5 pieces of hardware out there that hasn't touched the internet since this was discovered. Hell, my PlayStation 5 is still sitting on a shelf in my closet.
Mine hasn't been turned on in a few months,
right? I mean,
not the, since Death Stranding 2.
Right. So it's, there's still plenty of these out there that could be jailbroken for these particular reasons, but we're not advocating for anybody to go and do this. Piracy is, right. But, the idea is that there is this isn't anything new. I mean, I was talking about the PlayStation 2 that was jailbroken. The Xbox 360 was jailbroken. There's going to be a community of people who look for this kind of code, this kind of vulnerability, and will exploit it. And a lot of the times, they're exploiting it so that they can have access to older games that nobody else really cares about. So we're not, I don't, there's going to be a shadow group out there that's going to try to make money off of it, of course. But the vast majority of people who mod this type of stuff, you know, are modding hardware, they're modding it for their own use. You know, so I have a hard time like poo pooing on it. I would never do it. And it's not something that I would say you should go do. But if you have the skill, I mean, people mod their cars and it's not always legal. I mean,
you know, that said, guys, let us know if you'd be willing to spend more than $300 to let your pirate flag fly and find a full, our full episode podcast at tiltcast.com, iTunes and Spotify, as well as these shorts in these new shorts in audio form. And come back here, youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z, on Saturday for more news.
All right. Stay tuned.